Hello, everybody. When we made the title of this, I just came up with the ASTEX Upgrade Remote Participation Environment, but I think it's not really an environment for remote participation, but the better would be to just allow remote participation in our environment. So you may at the end choose which is the better title. To remote access, the remote access scenarios I want to report on are the web access to our environment shortly, the computer access, the data access, and the communications access. But no of these services is available to the public. So you may take this slide as a short reference how to enter into these services, and I will come to the details now. So no services are available to the public. However, it's easy to get access. At least Joe Schweinzer, being responsible for the remote participation contacts, my one contact to get access, or myself. For web access, we people who are using needing just web access, we may give you a one-fits-all account. For short terms, you can get a temporary guest account, or for full immersion, you may have as well a personal account, and there is an electronic registration possible to fill in your details. However, you need a contact at the IPP who gives you at least a billing number and all these things, and the proofs that you will get this account. To get really into our system, the network is obviously very important. We are on the GEON DFN network with a high speed, high bandwidth connection through the gigabit WIN, and this will by the computer, this is run, the gigabit GWIN connection is run by the computer center and protected by firewall, which is also managed by the computer center. And the connection will be shortly upgraded, I think, to an XWIN, even more high-speed connection. From the computer center, there is big bandwidth into our environment, because we need this as well for the archiving of our data, but it's a benefit, of course, for the remote participants. And with the methods I will describe later, you will have direct access into the center of our environment, which is our server farm. So, locally, we strongly are based on the sun rays, and this is a way, I would say people using a sun ray are considered to be local, but they strongly make use of the network, and as you saw, the externals have more or less the same access. So it's not much difference between using a Sunray access to our service here, and then you connect via SSH internally to our special services, for instance, the diagnostics, but also compute farms, and also the Andrew file system is a service which is not making any difference between being people sitting local or remote. So being a remote user is not much different from the local users. Being a remote user means to log in using an X server locally on the user's PC, using the secure shell client and connecting to one of our servers, where the firewall is tunneled via the SSH tunnel, and so you it looks for the user like being I would say being local, at least dependent on his own network connectivity. In this arrangement, the graphics performance may be an issue for highly demanding graphics applications, but for the standard physics applications, this is not the case. So we think from point of computer access, it should be no problem to feel at home, even from remote. And we would appreciate any feedback about that.
Okay.
Now let's come to the remote data access. It's well known that we are mostly relying on the Android file system. And I already said that we consider it very symmetrical for local and remote users. We store nearly everything locally in the Android file system, and so you will have access to any kind of files, home directories, software installations, applications, the application data, and even the web content directly without using the web server. And last not least, the ASX GradShot files, very symmetrically, locally and remote. So you see there's not much difference. The firewall is open. This is an outside user. This is a local user. The outside user is using his local AFS client, the local user as well. So they are pretty similar. When it's about accessing the ASX upgrade shot files, there is of course an access library necessary, and this is just a software layer between the AFS client, which just gives the file system connectivity and the application program, like the I would say the MDS plus. Layer between the network and the user's application. And this is what I want to show now. We are also providing an MDS IP server, which runs on top of this ASX upgrade shot file library, is an external MDS IP machine, and providing MDS IP service to local users as well as to external users. And these external users, however, have to use secure shell tunnels to get authenticated access through the firewall. And this is the only difficulty for them to manage. So we think that there's not much difference between local and global access to any kind of files from most platforms, because the Android file system client is widely available for platforms. Of course, we know that the ASX upgrade access library is not really available for a big number of platforms, but we are working to improve that. Especially the little endian was in the past a problem, but we now reprogrammed this part of the library completely, and shortly there will be a fully little endian version available, so that we think that we will support Linux and even Solaris x86 and maybe sometimes Windows directly by providing this library in a easily installable version. Nevertheless, the MDS Plus is available, and this little drawback with the SSH tunnel, this is required at least for the authentication. So let's come to the communication access. We have improved our rooms, and we have extended the number of our rooms by one additional room, which is located in the L5 building, where the theoreticians involved in, for instance, the integrated tokamak modeling project now are using this strongly. And as I already mentioned, these Tandberg systems can be used even to let people via phone participate in these conferences. And we had also people using Skype to phone this while they were using the regular Skype phone gateways. However, as we see here as well, before people are first time participating in bigger conferences, it should be a little bit exercised, and so we recommend anyway tests, not because of the instability, but just to get used to handling the conferences. All our rooms are now fully equipped with the media control. I call this the black box solution. A black box containing the media control, some video devices, and here this is our Tandberg on the wall. Others have a 19-inch Tandberg built into the black box. And all rooms are as well equipped with a special microphone, KIM 970, which I mentioned in earlier talks. And we see this microphone would be very helpful here as well. I could have brought one, but it's a pity I forgot that. This is the E4 room, now I'm showing as well the integrated control. It's divided into three parts. Here you are switching between the different modes of the video conference. Here you are switching the beamer for the presentation, and this is now the panel in the middle where you can dial numbers and make connections. Then if you press this button, there will come another panel allowing you to control the camera, and special functions like muting beamers are here available as well. So this is all from this kind of screen, just a graphical user interface to fully control the room. And yesterday I even managed to switch on this room into this conference from here via this interface. This is a picture showing all our three seminar rooms being equipped. This is the new room in L5. This is the big room in ASTEX Upgrade seminar room, and this is the small room from which we are having this view. This is another picture from the Monday morning sessions, showing that there are really lively discussions. Gruber, as the chairman, is the only one having an extra microphone like this one, but sometimes I feel this is even not required. This microphone in the middle of the room is enough to cover the whole 50 people sitting around like we hear. These images take a while. Yeah, and this was an ISDN conference. I say happy meetings with Japan, and it was even good enough to take a group picture from both sides. Yeah, the video conference group is making a statistics about this. The statistics started in January 1st, 2005. And as you can see here, between June 2005 and June 2006, the number of calls has increased more or less linearly. Of course, here in the first period, there are some more test connections and test sessions. I think the increment which is visible here is just a regular usage. Okay. Sometimes we have problems with the local PCs, but I think everybody more or less knows what I mean. So we extended the number of rooms. We now have media control for all three. We have the KIM 970 in every of these rooms, and we feel that now the users can start sessions there unattended after having a singular briefing, even Matthias Reich used one of these rooms to participate at the JET conference, at the JET experiment, just unattended. This is considered by me as a success of this enhancements, and so I strongly recommend to integrate these rooms into a media control. However, the remote communication with the experiment control room is still not clear. People didn't really consider that needed from the way the Aztecs upgrade remote participation is conducted. I'm still working on pushing them that we will set up a video conference system as well in the control room to allow this kind of remote participation, which we saw from D3D and JET. Okay, that's it.